This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Back with me today is Pastor Bob Perdue, and we're going through 10 life choices that we can make to have a better life in Christ, in our ministry and in our life and our walk. We've gone through the first one, to choose honesty, and today we're going to be talking about choose grace. And so, Pastor Bob, let us know, choosing grace, why is it after honesty? Why does this have second place in your list?
Well, if we actually get to the point where we're able to lay all of our cards on the table and admit all of the ways that we've been trying to get life on our own, then our almost next immediate response from the flesh is to ask the question, okay, what do I need to do now? And we can easily enter right back into another cycle of striving where it becomes about what I can do to make my life better.
Isn't it amazing? We as humans feel like we've got to do something.
We've got to do something. And God's message to us is that it's already been done. Mm. And that's why Choose Grace is next, because we cannot do anything to get the life that God created us for. The disconnect that happened because of sin is not a connection that we can fix on our own. And of course, that's why God sent Christ. Christ came to bring life. And many people believe that Christ came so that they could get forgiveness for their sins. So they go to the cross and they confess their sin and they receive Christ as their Savior. But that's really only half of the story. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus did come to forgive us for our sins, but he came to forgive us for our sins so that he could reconnect us with the Father, because that's life. Mm. And so he's already done all of that work. His death on the cross paid the price for the sin that disconnected us. It paid the price for the wounds that disconnected us. And when we trust Christ, we're trusting in the grace of God and not in our own work. So we no longer have to strive in order to make our lives work, because Christ now makes them work. There are a lot of different definitions out there for grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. I like to think of grace in a broader sense, that it's God's operating system. It's the only way that God will have a relationship with us. He will not have a relationship with us based on our own works, based on our own performance, or based on our own striving. He wants us in the position of receiving and only receiving.
Right.
So in spite of whatever the sin and wounds were that separated us from the Father, there's no change of behavior in me that has to happen in order for me to be reconnected with him. There's no penance that I have to do to pay the price for what I have done. And there's no score that has to be settled with somebody who's wounded me, because all of that's already been done through the death of Christ. And I have to be willing to simply receive that. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned. God said, you shall surely die. And so when God met up with them and confronted them with their sin and starts to kind of mete out the punishment and the consequences, it's almost like unexpected that all of a sudden he covers their sin with the skins of the animals. And then he makes the promise that the seed of the woman will one day come and destroy the serpent. They've not done anything. They didn't even confess. They didn't even choose honesty. Mm. And yet God is giving them grace. It comes out of nowhere. And grace is unscripted. Grace is unmerited. It's undeserved. It's unearned. And so while we may think, oh, well, I have to do something, the truth is we don't. David found the same thing to be true. He covered his sin. And then finally Nathan, the prophet, comes to him and says, you are the man. And David finally chooses honesty. Yes, I'm the one. I have sinned. And immediately Nathan responds, and the Lord has put away your sin. Now, certainly there were consequences, but David didn't die
right
because of that sin. Again, grace, unscripted, unearned, unmerited. All David could do was receive it. And that's the same way with us. We're never going to experience life. We're never going to have this reconnection with the Father unless we're willing to receive what God has done for us through the person of Christ. And Christ not just as our forgiveness for sin, but Christ as our actual source of life. When we receive Christ, we receive life. Not just eternal life that starts when we get to heaven, but eternal life that starts today, the moment we receive him. I had a man in our own program who was struggling with a drinking problem, and he was moving through recovery, but he had no trouble choosing honesty.
Right.
He was devastated by his poor choices, and he was more than willing to wallow in that. Choosing grace, though, was a different thing for him. He would say, "Bob, I need to understand why I keep doing this." And I would assure him that the drivers behind his drinking weren't really the point. Knowing them may help him in his recovery, but it wasn't necessary for him to understand it all in order to enter into relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And his next response was always the same. "Tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Anything. Go to rehab, get another sponsor, confess in front of the church, join an accountability group." And I kept telling him, "Sam, there's nothing you can do that's going to make this go away. And you don't have to stop drinking in order to enter into relationship with the Father."
Right.
You enter into relationship with the Father. You become his child. And you let his love and grace flow through you, and then let him deal with the drinking problem in his time.
Yeah.
It was so difficult for him to even imagine that he didn't have to clean up his act first before he could enter into that relationship with the Father.
Mm. It sounds almost counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Where it really cuts across even the church's way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when I finally admitted what was going on in my life, the church didn't embrace me. They just totally walked away from me.
Right.
They rejected me because grace was something they weren't able to really extend at that point. Because we feel like we have to be doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And this kept me from choosing honesty for the longest time, because I thought, in order for me to really reconnect with God, I have to clean up my act first.
Yeah.
I have to get this all together. And all that does is create more striving, and more striving just pushes us to indulge even further.
Mm-hmm.
So it leads us back into the vicious cycle rather than freeing us from it.
You've mentioned drinking, and there are others that we would put sort of on the top five or the top 10 list, but this goes down to all levels of our walk and in all aspects of sin, whether it's little white lies or whether it's everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In my own pilgrimage now in spiritual formation, I'm struggling with my tendency to do everything quickly.
Mm.
And as part of my discipleship, I was reading John Ortberg's The Life You've Always Wanted. And one of the things that he says in there is ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Well, that was very convicting.
That'd be convicting for a lot of us who are involved in this conversation right now.
And so for me to receive God's grace for my hurried lifestyle is just as important as Sam for his drinking, and even me for my sexual sin in the past.
Yeah, that's an area that I struggle with, is this area of not taking time to meditate on God's word.
Right.
Okay, I got to read it. I got to get through five pages. boom. Okay, I've done it.
Answer the questions. And
now I'm on my way.
Right.
And I had a conversation with a fellow who spends a lot of time meditating. And he may only go through one verse or one passage, but it's something that he has learned to do. And I have to admit, I'm not there yet.
Right. And when we feel that we have to do all of that, we have to hurry and get it done, and we can't just sit and meditate on one verse, we really are doubting the grace of God.
Mm.
We really are buying into a system of penance and works that is counter everything that Jesus came to give us. So choosing grace is absolutely necessary in order for us to experience life.
I saw a very humorous short feature once done by a very famous comedian, and he was acting out the role of a psychologist, and he was counseling someone who had a number of issues in their life, and his response to them was, "Just stop it." And that was it. Just stop it. Is it like that with grace, that we should just accept it? Is it that easy?
It's that easy. We have to get to the point where we stop all that we're doing to try to get life and just receive life from him.
Mm. Any other thoughts as we wrap this up?
I think that when we think about receiving grace or choosing grace, that it's such a nebulous concept that it's hard for us to wrap our minds around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for us to think of the scripture in Titus that says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Grace has taken on a human form. So when we say choose grace, we really are talking about choosing Christ.
Right.
Choosing Christ as life. Choosing grace.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.